Hey, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Nerd Radio, your national NerdNet radio direct. Welcome back to the Nake and Nerk show.
Welcome to the Stroke Show.
Nick Stroke. And Nate
Stroke.
Show. Brought to you by Kellogg's. hi, everybody. How's it going? So we got lots to talk about, lots to get into. Get into it.
How deep are we getting into it, though?
How deep is your love? Ah. But first, for all you live watchers and maybe the ones that watch afterwards, if you haven't seen it, we got some news here. Hold on, let me bring up my. Here we go. Badoosh. Okay.
Did you say badoosh?
Badoosh!
Who are you badooshing?
Badoosh your mom. There we go. Oh, look at that. Look at that gorgeousness. That's looking good. So, obviously, last episode, we announced that we're doing a Knockout City podcast. It's officially called Knocked Out Radio. And then we can even use the moniker KO Radio. So that's kind of cool. But here's our logo. This is just for the visuals. So if you want to go on to YouTube or Twitch and look at the video so you can look at our nice, fine ass logo, you can go to YouTube or that. And we even have like a smaller one that just says KO. And so that one can be used for like icons and, you know, little smaller things or whatever. So.
And also, if you want to see my fine ass, you can check out Instagram at ThreatX3 Productions.
But yeah, I'm excited about that. It looks pristine. It looks professional. Yeah. And it's gonna be a fun time. We're gonna have an episode zero basically on the 30th. Hold on, no, that might be when it goes for podcasts. Yeah, so we're going to record it on the 29th. That's this coming Thursday. And then it'll go live on all podcast services on the 30th. So look for Knocked Out Radio, or you can just put in Knockout City. Knockout City, like if I do on Spotify, for instance, if I just put Knockout City and not even like Knockout City Podcast, we're the very first result. So Knocked Out Radio. So, super excited for that. So, look out for that. It'll be episode zero, so it'll be more about, like, introducing ourselves, you know, rather than talking about the game itself. And then the next episode out after that, we're going to start getting into, you know, topics. We're going to talk about how hyped we are. We're going to talk about, you know, what we're hoping from the future of the game, you know, things like that. Leading up to the actual game releasing on the 21st. So when it goes live, basically we'll do like a live episode, like right after playing for probably a couple hours. We'll probably play like 2-3 hours and then we'll go live on that Friday, the 21st. So look forward to that. another quick announcement. Nate is getting promoted. Everybody, clap, clap. Nate got promoted at his job, so his schedule is changing. So now, instead of Fridays being Nerd Radio, we're going to go back to Sundays being Nerd Radio. It'll most likely be either the same time or maybe even an hour earlier. But basically, we're just switching from Fridays back to Sundays. And doing that. And if you want to, you can also join us on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays for just, you know, fun streams. Still trying to get my things figured out. This is what's annoying, is there's not really a super easy way to stream from a PlayStation unless you want to go out and like get yourself like a PlayStation camera. So I used to be able to remote play my game on my PC, and then I would just capture that window in OBS And then I could still have my face, and I can even remove my background or whatever, make it look all cool. And then, like, out of nowhere, I feel like it just stopped really working for me. Before, it would be like Call of Duty. You know what I mean? Like, Call of Duty was super high bandwidth or whatever, so I sort of get it there. But just out of nowhere, it just stopped really working for almost any game that I played. So I'm still trying to figure out an alternative, because otherwise I basically do a stream without my face and just my voice, which isn't horrible, but I've noticed that even me, if I look at somebody's stream or look at a footage of somebody streaming and they don't have their face, I almost immediately get bored, and I'm like, yeah, like, if I'm doing that, there's probably plenty of people who do that on a regular basis. Like, they like seeing the people, because streaming really is more about the community that you're building rather than the game. Yeah. If they wanted to watch the game, they go on YouTube and look up gameplay footage. They wouldn't go to somebody's stream. So it's like, I'm still trying to figure out. So anybody out there who happens to be a streamer and can figure out what I can do to get, you know, my camera. It's like, I got a camera. It's right here. See, I just poked it. I just poked it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if somebody out there who's a streamer who can contact me, you can contact me at threadxreproductions@gmail.com or at TX3Productions on Twitter. We always have our DMs open. So anybody knows kind of a solution that I can do. Because the other thing that's really annoying, me and Nate has had this problem several times where I have an Elgato, right? I hook it up, but then if I put my headphones into the headphone jack of the controller, the stream gets no audio. So I can hear all the pew pew bang bang, but the stream can't anymore. So then I have to find a way to basically, like my monitor that I use for streaming has a headphone jack in the back, and I could just use that for audio. But then, like, I have to pull out a whole nother thing. But then what's the problem is hearing the audio from the computer, and the computer is usually where we do, like, you know, like Google Meets is where we do it for the podcast. So we do the same thing when we're doing things.
I actually have the solution for that one.
It's a
different headset. So, and these are the ones that I would recommend anyway, the Arctis 7s, and they actually have new ones.
Yeah.
These are the ones I have for my gaming. But what I would do when I had my PC still up and running, the dongle, the Bluetooth dongle, has an audio in and an audio out.
Gotcha.
So what I did was I had the dongle plugged up to my computer so I could hear computer audio and everything. And there's different volume adjustments to, like, switch between.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have a aux cable from the monitor to the back of this so I could hear the PlayStation gameplay.
Right.
Because the problem I was running into was kind of similar, where I couldn't use my microphone for whatever, like, the headset.
Right, because the microphone I need to use so people can hear me on the stream. So then I would need, like, a secondary microphone to then have the people in the game hear me. And that's why we ended up using Google Meets, so that we can just have one thing. But then it's like we need two pairs of headphones and stuff. So you're saying that kind of fixes that problem?
It does, yeah, because you can still hear the computer audio as well as the game audio.
Okay.
It's like a
what's it called?
It's SteelSeries Arctis 7. There's a new model out, but which I think is actually a little bit better because of the battery setup. But yeah, just look up SteelSeries Arctis 7s.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Because that helps. That does help being able to get the. Now, I mean, I don't know about the microphone audio on the PlayStation. That's the only thing I still haven't figured out. But as far as hearing, being able to capture the audio.
Right. Well, as long as we can, like, use Meets, that's what we can use to, like, talk to each other. Because the other thing is, like, Poetic Ninja here, he's on the Xbox or whatever. So it's like, usually we have to find some kind of third-party way to contact each other anyways. Like, Outriders yesterday, started playing Outriders, and I guess it just didn't want to. And you're on the PlayStation. That was the annoying thing. It would be one thing if we couldn't hear Poetic Ninja.
I was amazed how much ass that ran. Like, that ran like ass. Absolutely. Like everything about it was fucking broken. Every time we would load in from a respawn, all of us were down to our fucking skivvies.
Yeah.
Except for me, I was just a phantom. And here's the thing I noticed. Like if you could see my gameplay, I realized after the first couple times it was doing it, I pressed the controls and my fucking aiming red dot reticle came up, but I wasn't there and there was no gun there. Like it was like, what is happening? And so I had gotten frustrated pretty quick.
Right.
I was waiting for you guys to be like, all right, I'm done. Cause it's like, this is bad, man. And it was like, that was the most bullet spongy bullshit I have.
Right.
But I think that was definitely level, but even Division bullet sponging didn't feel that bad.
Well, I mean, honestly, I do believe that the whole crossplay thing also has a may still have it's they still may need to have to work it out or something, work out some of the kinks or whatever. So that way, it may play better. But also, I don't know, and I agree the round could have gone a lot better. I guess I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
If it was really
a shitty game, it would be one thing, but it's a really good game. It's a fun game. And so to just have so much problems and just not being able to play.
Outriders is going to be better in a year. Like, it's kind of one of those you might, like,
right? Isn't that the problem? Like,
that's how I feel about Avengers, honestly. Me jumping into Avengers where it's at, where all the polish has been made.
Well, let me tell you about that one in particular.
Let me tell you.
Avengers, I had a different opinion of it, and then really honestly when I looked up some of the reviews, like some of the like comments that people were leaving on Avengers, and I was like, what? They must have not played this game. They had to have not played this game in order to leave all these negative comments about it.
Yeah, either that or they played it on day one, obviously. Or sometimes, like, this happened with Days Gone. Days Gone is a really good example where a lot of people played and made reviews based on versions of the game that weren't even day one. So day one comes out, I buy Days Gone because I was super excited for it, and I'm like, where are all these bugs you're talking about? Like, I'm not seeing it. Now, granted, there were still bugs, but day one patch, there were so many bugs and they were like, you know, zipping around the map in weird ways and getting glitched or whatever. But that was pre patch one or day one patch, right? And so here you have like, 90%, 100% of reviewers giving bad reviews based on these bugs. And it's like, if you literally would have waited to the day one of the patch or whatever, it would have been loads better. Not perfect by any means, but loads better. And so you kind of have a similar situation with like Avengers. It's like that beta was not good. We all three of us I think could agree on that, right? Like the beta was not good. It was like concept, wasn't like, it was like, yeah, here's, but then we play it again and even that bridge level or whatever, playing that in the final game was just like, okay, yeah, this is way different. They must have been previewing a build that was like 6 months old because like it just felt so much different.
Yeah. So I was going to bring up, remind me about the topic I was going to talk about with hard games. I have a business that I just thought about whenever we started. So we're looking at, and guys, whoever's watching live in the chat, let me know how you feel about this situation. So we want to get more community outreach, and I kind of thought about it whenever, and this actually goes with what I'm going to talk about next, so you're actually on topic here, when you did the
finger choking on my finger.
I think we kind of dabble with Patreon, be like, hey, you want to give us money, like we'll give you like extra stuff. So we live in a different market now. So what if we made an OnlyFans?
I have genuinely thought about this, okay? Some people like biggins, right? Some people like big boys. So part of me is just like, what if all I had to do is just like sit on the couch, get naked, and maybe even like spread some crumbs on me because they like dirty
okay,
boys.
Okay, so okay,
right?
okay. I'm immediately fucking regretting this conversation because I was thinking about
you
this
didn't
more,
expect
like,
me to when, like it so much.
I was going like more PG with it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like crumbs and like fucking Jesus. Oh
holy
my God.
Shit.
Now I am regretting.
You're gonna go there. I'm gonna go there too, sir.
No,
I'll go further. I'll always go further.
Quickly. That really got out of hand fast.
Oh, it's like wow. It's like that gift Community where Donald Glover come back to and everything's on fire. Like, what did I just do?
So, segueing out of that, going to the previous conversation.
Wait, fucking... you don't want to see me naked? That's it.
No, down boy. No nips. Stop. We don't want to get. Yeah, we don't want to I've had something interesting happen to me. It's kind of a weird segue.
On OnlyFans?
Well, it's about hard. Ugh. So, like,
get going, baby.
I've noticed recently, and I don't know if it's just because I'm like bored in my game. God, this is going to go in a really weird direction. I've been playing games on hard more recently. Like, I've made the conscious decision to, and I say that going with what we were talking about with Avengers. Whenever I jumped in, whenever I first started, I was like, and I guess because I thought the normal felt too generic in the beta, I was like, let's make it a little more difficult. And I actually think that was a better decision to make, is to play it on hard. Because you...
I'm sorry, what game are we talking about again?
Avengers.
Oh, okay, Avengers. I'm sorry. I'm looking at Lycan, and he keeps talking to me. Hey, baby, how you doing?
Like, you actually have to be a little bit more tactical instead of button mashing the hell out of everything.
Right, okay, yeah.
But like going into stuff that we've been playing a little bit, like... I remember how I told you last week I was talking about Far Cry 3. I jumped into Far Cry 4 because I remembered I had it on my shelf.
You know what? That's crazy because I was just thinking about buying that the other day because it was on sale. It's on sale right
honestly,
now.
Honestly, right now, I think that Far Cry 4 might be the best Far Cry.
Really?
Yes. Mm. I used to say Far Cry 3 was, and Nick will still say Far Cry 2, which I can't agree with. But
Far Cry 3 was a really good game.
But yeah. Yes, it was, but I feel like Far Cry 4 is the next-gen version of that that does everything a lot better. Like, the scope is a lot bigger. It's just, it feels a lot more... Like, the whole mechanic of when you get leaves, when you gather two, it automatically makes, you know, syringe. It's like quality of life stuff. But also, I forgot how fucking hard Far Cry was on hard.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know if it's something that's because I always play on normal because I want to enjoy the experience and not get my head.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you forget how forgiving the stealth mechanics can be.
Maybe I'm becoming a masochist. I don't know. Like, I did it hurt me?
No.
Hurt me, Daddy.
A masochist. That's a. You know what? It's crazy because, like, I could play Diablo and be the same way and just, like, okay, it's on normal, but I'd rather play it on Torment. But it's like, I don't know. Is it bad to think?
I guess it is to challenge myself. I think, like, I'm saying that in the chat, but, like, at the same time. So here's the thing. I'm not going to go to Wolfenstein and play the hardest difficulty because I'm not an insane person. Yeah, I fucking hate the game on normal. It is ridiculously hard, especially two. It's ridiculously hard on normal. I am not, there's no fucking sense of it. But it's like, that's why I don't play games like Dark Souls and Bloodborne because.
Oh, really? No.
I'm open to trying them now.
Right.
Right. It's funny because, like, when it comes to choosing difficulty on games, I always go back to Doom. Every time I play Doom, it was like that. It was like, okay, do I want to play it on this difficulty right here and get my ass handed to me? Because I'm like, you know. 13 years old playing Doom, and it's like, I don't know if I want to, you know, step it up a notch.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's always been that thing where it's like, either I can play it on normal or step it up. And usually, sometimes they have it, they have games where it'll automatically generate it based on how you play the game.
Yeah.
It'll set it to where, okay, we're going to put you on a different difficulty because you're playing it way too easy.
Yeah.
I've had games that was like that where it was like, you need to step it up a notch. I'm like, really? So it was like...
Fuck you!
Infamous was one of those games, I'll tell you, because I was playing it, and then all of a sudden it told you, oh, you need to step it up because you're playing it way too easy. I'm like, oh, okay. And I ended up playing it on hard and beating it. It's crazy because it's like it knows how you're playing.
Right. Well, yeah, Resident Evil was really well known for having adaptive difficulty. So, like, there's this video on YouTube talking about how it does it or whatever. And so this guy goes into this one room, and there's, like, four guys in front of him and then two snipers on the side. And then he purposely dies, like, seven times in a row. Yeah. And all of a sudden there's only two guys in front of him and one sniper. And it's like, okay, yeah. It's like it's adapting. But you don't, you might not notice it because you're just, you're trying to get through the game or whatever. And so I think that should be adapted more into video games because it should be able to challenge you, but not piss you off. And so like, as far as difficulty goes, I usually go normal, but, what I don't like about playing on hard for most games, it's not every single game, but for a lot of games, playing on hard pretty much just means you take more damage and they take less damage. Mm-hmm. Rather than doing something interesting like adding in different enemy variants or adding in different enemy encounters, and you know, maybe the AI itself is more smart and will flank you better or something like that. Instead, it's just like, hey, would you like to shoot this person more, but you don't get to be shot as much? And that's the difficulty. So that's why sometimes it's really hard for me to play on hard, because it's like, it's not hard because I need to be skilled at it or whatever. Well, obviously I could get skilled at it, but it's hard because of the lack of life that you get.
Yeah. And it also, that, like, Call of Duty is the greatest example of that. Like, there are several Call of Duty games where veteran difficulty was the most bullshit thing. Like, you know, World at War, where they just grenade spammed all the time.
Oh my goodness.
See, in that last night, last night, those fuckers grenade spamming us on Outriders, like, that was not fun.
Like, I was getting really annoyed. And every time I turned around, I had to run because I'm, like, within the... AOE of the freaking grenade, so I'm like, oh no, I need to get, I need to get out of here.
So we got Lycan Gamer. He says, "You have to look at what you want out of the gaming experience." I said that weird experience. if you are into it for the story, then you do the story as is. But when you want to get more of a challenge, you should have medium between normal, hard as an adaptive game level. So it's really what you want out of, and most of the time I would say save hard for after you get used to the mechanics, but very seldom do I revisit a game.
The one game I did do that was Mass Effect. I did that with Mass Effect.
The Last of Us. The Last of Us is probably one of the only games that once I finished it, it wasn't completely dead to me, because it was just such such a good... I've replayed it four times, and I've even gone all the way up to survival or whatever. So every once in a while, I might have like put it down a notch or whatever so I could get through a save. But like, very... For the whole thing, pretty much, like...
Well, like, a perfect example of, like, how it can ruin an experience is Jedi Fallen Order. Because I started Jedi Fallen Order even on just the normal difficulty.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of people did, right?
Because that's what you've been trained to do. And it's like, man, this is Soulsy. This is really Souls light. I mean, I'm getting my ass kicked, and this is not really fun. And it was annoying because I really wanted to... Well, partially I fucked up because I went... At the very beginning was like, hey, you can go to fucking where's Maul's planet, fucking where you get the double Dathomir. They were like, hey, you can go to Dathomir, and I heard that's where you get the lightsaber. I was like, okay, cool. And I kept going there over and over again and kept running into roadblock after roadblock, and I'm like, you know what, I'm coming back whenever I get enough. But like, I kept getting my ass kicked, and I'm like, I want to experience this story. And so I had to drop it down. But after I beat it the first time, I went up higher in difficulty because I wanted that challenge. So yeah, I mean, that's a good example of how starting it
And see, that's what there's this big debate, and I think I think it's a stupid ass debate. But there's this debate on whether or not like games like you know, Dark Souls or
Bloodyborne.
Shadows Die Twice. What was that one called?
Sekiro.
But Sekiro Shadows Die Twice is another one where it's like, you know, should there be an easy mode? And I feel like Jedi Fallen Order is a really good example of there are, if you put it up to the right difficulty, it is very Dark Souls, you know, especially if you get all the way up to the top, it can be very Dark Souls. But then you can also just drop it down. And what I like is that it even shows you sliders. And basically on easy, your reaction time for blocking is like all the way up. And your reaction time for this is all the way up. And then the more difficulty you go up, your reaction time for blocking or repelling a laser or something is a lot smaller. So you have to be like a lot quicker with your reaction, and you have to be more precise.
Precise.
And so it's
like,
why can't we just do that? You know, like especially something like Sekiro. I heard that has a lot of like reactionary things. So instead of giving us an easy mode, quote unquote, it could still be difficult. It could still have the same amount of like HP for an enemy, but instead just give us the option to have a little bit more reaction time where we don't have to be. It's like, you know, it's like the difference between like you have to be this close versus this close.
I realized that like my biggest thing was like you were saying with Fallen Order, like the enemy that gave me the most problem was on that one planet
the Jedi Toad.
Oh, fuck that toad. That toad made me want to quit that fucking game. It's like, this is the second mission. The second planet. And I'm like, you are eating my fucking lunch. Like, how do I get past you? I ended up just fucking like, like I ran past him just to get...
See, now what really sucked about that, what really sucked about that is that you get past them and what do you get? Like a fucking poncho? Like,
yeah, it's like
that game desperately needed like different kyber crystals. And if you have this kyber crystal connected, it makes your critical attack times four. Like, it needed some kind of gear system.
Than poncho, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get that in the second part.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, because hope we get some kind of RPG. Other than just leveling up our damage or whatever, there needs to be some RPG factor to it. Because going and finding this box off in the distance, way off the beaten path, and it just ends up being like, oh, hey, here's a hilt. It's like, I mean, for completionists, that's really cool. But like for Dark Souls is a really good example. When you go off the beaten path and you find this random ass box like behind something and you had to hit it just the right way to get into it, you can get this like really badass sword. And that's the only place you can get it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, just things like that would just be really nice.
Yeah, and that's what really pissed me off about, you know, Fallen Order. And that was the only enemy in the entire game that gave me the most difficulty.
No.
And like you said, I literally wanted to quit that game because of those stupid toads.
Goddamn toads.
So, and then after that, it was just like, okay, it was nice. But, yeah.
So... It's a good time for a break. Let's get into it. And then when we come back, we're going to talk some Falcon and a Winter Soldier.
Explode everywhere.
So we'll be right back. That's right, everybody. It's time to rock on with our hard on.
Gonna rocks out with our cocks out.
Yep.
Ladies, you can jam out with your
jam out with that clam out. Get high and runty with that. Anyways, so. Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Oh, wait. I mean, Captain and the Winter Soldier finally had its finale. This is the point of the show. Get your ass out of here. If you have not seen it, because
don't get your ass out of here. Just take your headphones off. Mute us. Keep the screen up.
We'll give you a little. There you go.
All right. So I mean, let's get straight into it. That suit. That zoot suit.
Well, you know what? I will have to say, after seeing that, it kind of reminded me of a particular comic I had read, actually. So it looked like one of the actual comic book characters. So I was really impressed with the suit, actually, because it reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it first showed up on screen, I was kind of shocked at how much it looked like the Captain Falcon.
We got a little bit of an echo, somebody.
Is anybody in there? Is there anyone at home?
Okay, I'm not hearing it anymore. Go on, sorry.
The moment I saw that, I was like, wow, holy shit.
Right.
And here's the thing. I don't think I was in the minority on this one at all. Episode 5. I wasn't sure if the Wakandans made him a full Captain America suit or if they made him more wings. Like, my first impression was that they just made him a new pair of wings. So to see that and have that actually be like, okay, yes, that's what it was.
Right.
Was a very nice. But also, I hope this isn't a formulaic trend. Even though I'm enjoying that they're giving us the big thing right at the very beginning, like the things that they tease,
we're getting
up front, because it's letting us kind of unpack that for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't want to expect it. I don't want that to be, you know.
Yeah.
Which,
well, I mean, if you think about it, like, this is almost the opposite of WandaVision, because WandaVision was very much like, we're going to talk about our feelings for about 30 minutes, and then 5 minutes towards the end, we're going to drop something on you that's going to leave your jaw open until the next episode.
Yeah, that's it. That's a good point. And yeah. Wow, that is interesting. I didn't realize there was that much of a dichotomy between those two. Okay. But excuse me. I lost my train of thought.
Right.
I lost it.
Right. All aboard.
Now, what did you guys think of WandaVision? I'm sure you guys may have already spoken about this, but I had just recently just finished watching.
You just binged it, probably.
Yeah, I just finished watching it, so I was just like, oh, okay. But yes, speaking of this one in particular, I was really, really happy to see how it turned out.
Mm-hmm.
The way how everything played out, you know, even for U.S. agent, I wasn't expecting that also. So, and it was the exact same for him as well. It was like, wow, I remember U.S. agent from the comic.
Right.
So it was just like, did all these variants from Captain America. It just kind of reminded me of one big giant Captain America league or something. They could have started a league.
They probably could have. One of the things that I've really enjoyed about what they've done with their steady with the drip feed release is it's encouraging me to go look up subject matter. And like, for example, when we got the first episode with Isaiah Bradley, I immediately started seeing videos pop up on my YouTube like Isaiah Bradley explained, and like these characters explained. And I watched one for John Walker / U.S. Agent. And if you have not done that or don't know much about the character, look up some of those videos, because I am so much more interested to see what they're going to do with Wyatt Russell now.
Yeah, true.
Because, like,
especially the teases towards the raft.
They named the raft a few different times.
Right.
So, but yeah, I've done that.
I don't mean to interrupt, but real fast, were they implying that Zemo escaped at the end? Because all they said was that Zemo got the last laugh.
No. Zemo.
What was that referring to? I don't understand.
It was referring to the scheme that they had conducted with the group that was in the van, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was saying
Was that his butler or something?
Yes, that was his butler. That was his butler who pulled the
trigger. Right.
Oh. I was completely confused. It's just like some guy in with a monocle is like.
They showed him at the very beginning in the plane. Like.
Oh, okay. I do not remember that whatsoever. So, like, I was completely confused. I was thinking that it was all a setup, right? Like, they were. Because the guy, right before he closes the door, he's like, one people, one world, Hail Hydra. And then it blows up. And I'm like, okay, they fake their death so that they could. Rise up
get
again.
Away, right.
But then all of a sudden it blows. Then they show that guy, and I'm like, oh, is that supposed to mean something? So, okay, thank you for explaining that to me, because I are stupid. No,
Zemo hasn't broken out. I think what's going to happen is that he's going to be recruited by Thunderbolt Ross.
Yep. They're definitely kind of setting that up.
Because that's what they're leading up to with the raft and everything. And the fact that we haven't seen Thunderbolt at all. To kind of go back just a little bit, what you're talking about WandaVision, I can say with almost absolute certainty, if I have to compare these two, if you told me to pick between these two, I'm Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, without a doubt.
And yeah, Wanda was just a different story. You know what I mean?
That's got to be a mood piece. Like, if I'm feeling
Yeah.
But, like, I can rewatch this over and over again. And that's partially because the Cap trilogy are my favorites, and I'm actually going through the rewatch right now. I just finished Iron Man 2. We can talk about that. Right towards the end, because that's very, very interesting thought process going through. But yeah, I can easily say that this is probably one of the best projects that Marvel has put out so far.
Yeah. I mean, WandaVision really made us want more. And then we came out with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then, like, we get another 2-week break. And then Loki comes out. So it's like. Just one after another, and it's just like, okay, like, it just, now I can't wait for Loki. Now I can't wait for Hawkeye. You know, I wouldn't have given a shit about Hawkeye if WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier weren't good. But well, now it's like, now I want to see it, you know?
Well, people know that, you know, Wanda is actually one of the strongest mutants out there. One of the strongest mutants. And to actually display her like that is actually a good thing, because I know that Wanda is one of the strongest because of she was a direct line from Magneto. But, I mean, they changed the storyline completely, you know, which is cool.
Yeah,
now
she's a Nexus being, so she's going to be, like, she's going to be the cause of the multiverse is what they're leading her up to be. Like, that's what all the, like, Easter eggs were, like, the Nexus pill and stuff like that. Like, that's going to be her role, and is she going to create the mutants? We don't really know.
I mean, maybe she does, because in the alternate universe her kids are still alive.
Yeah, maybe. And we know she's trying to figure out a way to revive them. But going back to Falcon Winter Soldier.
Oh yeah, that thing.
Another thing, maybe if we compare them big scale to small scale, cuz I think Endgame is probably one of the best Marvel movies, just in general, just based on, like, just the emotion and the cultivation of everything, the culmination of everything.
In the climax?
The climax!
Oh, but God!
I had loved what they were doing throughout this season with, like, all of the, you know, all of the cultural things, all the topics that they were bringing up. Like, whenever they brought up race at the very beginning, I was like, okay, this is what this is. All right. This is like, you're going to be telling us, you're going to be sending us a statement or giving us a message of some kind.
Yeah.
How they were able to commit to that and didn't beat around the fucking bush about it at all through the entire thing. And then to have Anthony Mackie, have Falcon be cemented as Captain America in one fucking scene. That was brilliant. Like, how that was such a message to. Oh my God, like, I was getting emotional watching that. I'm like,
yeah, because you know he was talking to everybody.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you had already kind of seen in the action part, yeah, of course he's Captain America. That whole maneuver with the helicopter.
Yeah.
That was like, man, okay. And one of my favorite parts that got me hyped was whenever he came out of the water. He's like, all right, you deserve this. You earned this ass whooping. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. That got me hyped. But we saw, like, how he is, especially when he was battling Balrog, whatever the fuck his name, Balrog from Lord of the Rings. Whenever he was fighting him, it's like, okay, he's competent. But how he was able to show everyone, and then seeing the emotion that was going through Isaiah's face.
Right.
I don't know if you guys noticed this. Did you notice that towards the end of the episode when he went to go visit him, that Isaiah had cleaned up? Like he had he had cut down his military cut that he had.
Oh yeah.
He had trimmed up everything. So it's like, I don't know if that was, to me, I took that as you brought me out of like that darkness that I was in.
Yeah.
Like, and so I just thought that that was interesting. That it's
that
like,
was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I did pick that up as well. It seems like he would reinventing himself in a way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was like he was being rebirthed in a way. So it was a really good thing. And then like you said about him giving that message towards the end, it wasn't just a show at that point. It was really speaking to everybody. Because like if you weren't touched by that, I don't know.
I didn't well up, but I was like, man, like I felt that message that he was giving.
Mm-hmm.
But fucking hell, man. The very end, whenever he takes Isaiah to the memorial and he's like, now no one will... I cried. I legit teared up. I was like, dude, because it's... That's the one that got me, going back to the, like, such and such character explained. I had kind of heard about Isaiah Bradley before, heard the name, didn't know anything about the character or, like, where the character came from or the backstory. And to see them actually show that in the show was awesome. But also that at the very end, it's like it's that fulfillment and like that emotion that he felt and was like, it, you know, what I did. Like I legit, it was, that's why I would make the argument. This is one of the best things that they've done. Cause it's like,
it hit you
in every single way. And that's, that's what a show that can hit you in every single facet and just have you like every single bit of it translates. It's
Yeah.
What I thought was going to be kind of not mediocre. I didn't think this was going to be mediocre, but I thought this was going to be typical Marvel was completely surprised.
Yeah.
I was thrown off too. I was really thrown off.
I mean, what makes this show good and maybe even better than a regular movie is the fact that we're able to have these character moments. They don't seem rushed. They don't seem, you know, like they're just trying to get to the next MCU movie or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I really like that about the series or whatever. It's definitely, it's going to be weird. It's going to be really weird. Like we just got the trailer for, what's his name? Something Chi and the Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
I didn't want to say that because that sounds super fucking racist. So I didn't want to say it, be completely wrong, and they're just like, look at that white boy. Anyways, so Shang-Chi in the Ten Rings or something like
the
that.
Legend of the
so
Ten Rings.
So they just dropped the trailer of that, and it's like, it's going to be weird. Because it's like, here we have this like 6 hour, maybe 5 hour, well, I guess closer to like maybe five and a half hours, really developing the characters, following the characters, getting to know them, their family, their backstories, even more so than any other movie they've already been in. And then we're going to get this 2 hour, maybe 1.5 hour about a single, sure, it's a single character, but you're still kind of setting up this whole other world in China and their culture and what it means to them and Shang-Chi and his powers, what do they mean? And it's like, is it going to be able to make the same impact with 2 hours that this 5.5 hour did? Same thing with WandaVision. We're going to go from WandaVision, for instance, to Doctor Strange 2 and the Multiverse of Madness. But how much of an impact is that movie really going to have?
Well, but so here's the thing. To answer that question simply, I think it's going to have a gigantic impact for multiple reasons. One, in Hollywood, we are seeing this resurgence in Asian film and Asian characters and Asian actors, especially with, you know, Crazy Rich Asians kind of being in the zeitgeist of people's, oh, okay, like this is something we care about now, which sounds super racist to say, but I mean, that's like, And everyone has said that Crazy Rich Asians has been this resurgence in Asian film.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that that's got going for it. I was listening to the reactions from Kinda Funny, and Tim was talking about, since this takes place in the Bay Area, how which might be too niche, but I don't know how they fit to that lifestyle of like everything at San Francisco. Like it's so.
Oh, if you've been to San Francisco, yeah.
Yeah. But here's what I was going to say as far as you were talking about. I don't think that's going to hurt it at all. I think that we're benefiting from things like Falcon and WandaVision and them being 5, 6 hour, 8 hour things. That's because we already have the introduction to these characters.
Right. Because
that's part of the thing with Jessica Jones. Jessica Jones, I heard, was good. She's a character that I don't really care much about. Do I want to invest 10 hours into someone who I'm like, I don't know much about? I don't know. Whereas you're telling me this is an introduction that's I'm getting maybe 2 hours and it's going to be action filled, action packed. I might have a better experience with a character I don't know much about in this quick setting. And if I like him, I'm all for a series, you know, and that's, I'm looking at that mindset in the major populace's mind.
Right. But then you have like Moon Knight. We've never seen Moon Knight before, but he's getting his own series. She-Hulk is getting her own series.
Well, these are pretty, actually pretty well-known characters. Moon Knight is
talking about the more MCU. Oh, you know, nobody knows who they are. Nobody's like name-drop Moon Knight or She-Hulk.
More, I feel like more MCU comic fans know probably, I would argue more about She-Hulk or Moon Knight, just because I didn't know too much about Shang-Chi. I really did. I knew about the Ten Rings, but again, I'm not a big Marvel Comics reader as most others are.
Right.
But like I had no idea what Shang-Chi's powers were.
Right. And so, but watch. So my point being though is that we're getting Shang-Chi's introduction as a 2-hour movie, but we're getting the introduction of She-Hulk and the introduction of Moon Knight as series. So that's kind of my point from before, where it's like it's going to be weird to see how they're still able to make it good. Like, it's Marvel, and so I don't have a doubt that it's not going to be good, but rather, is it going to be great? Because WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier are great, whereas just a 2-hour Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 3 or Dark World, Thor the Dark World or whatever, like, these are tiny movies, and we only have to suffer through them for 2 hours, but it's still like it's gonna be weird regardless of whether or not it's good or not, because it's just like, oh man, I do want more, but at the same time, I don't know.
Well, I'll be honest, the first time I watched the trailer for it, I was like, this is weird, because I haven't seen this in a Marvel movie. Like, it's one of those that I just don't know much about the source material. So I kind of had that. It took me out of it for a second. I was like, man, I haven't seen anything like this. I watched that thing 2 or 3 times after that, and I'm like, oh no, this is cool. Like, especially that part on the fucking train, on the bus, whenever he does that like double hit, double kick. And I'm just like, oh man, like it's one of those, the cinematography does look like a Marvel movie in a lot of ways, but I think that this is going to hit culturally in the same vein that Black Panther did. Just because, and I'm not just saying that just based on as far as the characters, but like the story and the legacy they're trying to tell,
right?
So I think that's why it's going to be better as a movie, is to have kind of its
own Black thing Panther there. Was very successful.
If Black Panther was a series, I think I would have enjoyed it, but the fact that they told this very good compressed story in that 2-hour time span, like, just it's perfect, you know. So it's like, more could be good, more could be bad,
right? So are they going to apply the same tactics that they've done with Black Panther? So that's the question, I guess. So are they going to do the same thing? Which you're right, it would probably have the same impact as Black Panther did. So when it comes out, it's going to be one of those things. Going to be like, oh yeah, I can go with this. So I think so, especially out here in the West Coast.
Well, alrighty, Rooney, let's get ourselves another music break, and when we come back, we can talk a little more. Just stick in there with us. You know, we'll do some more talking, maybe about the future projects or Call of Duty, or we'll end the show with some nerdy would you rather. oopsie.
Did somebody make a poopsie?
I made a poopsie doopsie.
Who made a poopsie? Oopsie made a poopsie.
No, I did not see Mortal Kombat yet. That's going to be tonight. Although I can't decide between Mortal Kombat and Army of the Dead.
Oh,
like, did it also come out today?
Oh yeah.
Wait a minute, is it going to be on HBO Max as well?
No, Netflix.
Oh, Netflix.
Let me double check, but I'm like 90% sure that came out. Unless
we're
it was
all
like
doing the fact checks on our phone.
I thought it was the 20, or maybe it's like 20, you know, something. What
20
what
is something?
Today's the 23rd. Yeah, I want to say it was May 20 something.
Friends with Benefits is on Netflix though. And
oh my god! I get to see JT fuck Mila Kunis.
Yes, it's so good.
Hold on, that can't be right. It says May 14th. What? I remember 20 something. I remember April 20 something. God damn it! No, yeah, it's May 21st. How do you? Here's a really good question. How do you delay a digital release? Like, okay, does that mean like they're still editing and shit? You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. Anyways, okay, so I was wrong. It's actually in May, so it'll come out May 21st.
It's gonna be May. We're not far from that. God.
So I guess I don't have a decision to make. I get to watch Mortal Kombat, and then possibly tomorrow I'll watch the new. I lost her name. What's her name? Anna Kendrick. Anna Kendrick on Netflix. Stowaway.
Okay. I have a suggestion. You guys should check out the new anime that's going to be released. Yasuke.
Yasuke. What's that?
It's going to be the new. I just heard about it just recently. So,
what's it on? Netflix.
It's
going to
be on Netflix. Netflix. Yeah.
Yasuke. Yasuke. I don't know if I'll have enough time. Ah, see, now here's another one I really want to see. The Mitchells versus the Machines. It's done by the same people who did. I think it's the same studio. I don't know if it's literally the same people, but it's the same people who brought us Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh,
the Black Samurai. Yeah, I definitely want to see that one. Yeah, that one looks cool. And then there's Jupiter's Legacy, May 7th. So that's at the beginning of the month. That's going to be interesting. Let's talk about that really fast, just because have you seen the trailer for it?
I have not.
I've seen the trailer.
All right, let's do it. I'm going to bring it up. If I'm going to bring it up, you guys need it. Because, I mean, especially since we just got done talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we're getting ready for Loki, all that good stuff. Like, this is a good. Not only that, but Invincible. How far are you guys in Invincible?
I am.
Okay, I have not even heard of that.
Invincible?
Is it a cartoon?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. Do you have Amazon Prime?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay.
With Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime.
I have Twitch. I don't have Amazon.
Okay, so yeah, I'm just doing the one from the actual Netflix account. That's the trailer I'm going for. What?
The one? Okay.
Okay, hold on. You're both talking. Nate.
Okay. I finished episode 4 last night.
Okay. You suck ass, by the way.
Yes, I know.
It's episode 7. And
what was the trailer?
Shit is getting real. Jupiter's Legacy.
Legacy.
Okay. We're good?
All right.
We're good. Good? Okay. Yep. Let me switch over to our big screen so everybody can see us.
Okay. All right. Whenever you guys are ready.
All right. Press play on 1, 2, 3. Oh, geez. That was loud. Ow. Right on my ear hole.
I had to turn mine down. On the shots.
Thank you.
Whoop.
Honestly, that looks like an incredible amount of quality for completely unknown property.
Right. Like, I mean, it might be a comic. I wouldn't doubt that it's a comic, you know.
But yeah, it was something I haven't heard of before. Like that, I mean, that looks very impressive.
I'm trying to look. It was
why we didn't say anything is because I mean I was pretty much like invested the entire time.
Yeah. And so one of the main things I wanted to right here. Yeah, so it's by Mark Miller, the visionary that brought us Kingsman and Kick-Ass. I didn't realize that before. So now knowing that, I'm like, oh, okay, I have a little bit more faith in this. A little bit more than even when I was about to talk about it. Because my main concern here is, obviously this looks like a... And I think this is a series, or is this a movie?
I couldn't tell.
A movie, I think.
It looks like it may have been a movie.
Someone said Sky High, but Sky Higher.
First generation. For some reason, I'm thinking this is a series. We're gonna a little quick fact checking. Jupiter Legacy television series.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
that's even better, I guess.
Right. So yeah, it's a television series. Well, so
I don't want it to be another The Boys.
Yeah, and see, that's actually what I was going to bring up, is like, this seems like a very serious look, especially mm-hmm. since we're getting the quote-unquote legacy, where you have the older generation, and they're kind of looking back at their time as superheroes. Did they do any good? Did they not do any good? What are they leaving for the next generation and all that? Like, that's some pretty heavy shit, and yeah. At the same time, it does kind of look like, definitely doesn't look like The Boys, because The Boys definitely does have this kind of grungy feel to it.
Like DC dark aesthetic to it.
The Boys
this has like a Marvel like.
Okay. Yeah. Because yeah, we definitely didn't see like any blood or anything, or at least a lot of it. So it's not The Boys in the sense that we're gonna see people blown up from the inside or anything like that. But it does seem like we're gonna get some serious, like even the one part where the car was thrown, like it was maybe just a little janky, but not too janky. No, where it was just like, oh, that's clearly TV graphics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I really like it. And it's definitely going to be interesting to see how does this stack up to The Boys. Because now we have so much to choose from. You know, before it was very much like MCU or... If you wanted to be a masochist, you could watch DCEU. And that was it. Whereas now we have so many choices. We got the MCU. We got the MCU like extended with all the Disney Plus stuff. Then we have the DC. Then we have DC's side projects like Joker. And then we have Invincible, which, yeah, if you can like somehow pirate that, not that I'm saying you should, Poetic Ninja, but if you could... pirate it, it's totally fucking worth it.
It's a generational cartoon. How if it was darker, it would be like the Spider-Man. I guess it has the same staying power as like Spider-Man from the 90s, like everyone's spy. It's that impactful as far as like it's telling it's kind of cool to see a teenage setting in a real life, like the whole dynamics and the relationships that they're showing, and through the parents and the teenagers feels modern. It doesn't feel like old school cartoon mom and dad.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
The best way I can probably describe Invincible is that it's a Saturday morning cartoon for adults. So yeah, we have the high school setting, we have the teenagers, but it still feels like it was made for somebody my age versus made for kids, and it's on like Disney XD or something. You know what I mean?
Put it to you like this: back in the day, where you would go to watch like Spider-Man or Iron Man or X-Men Unlimited with cereal and juice. Now, this is the kind of show where you wake up with a cup of coffee, have a little wake and bake, just kind of just chill out and, enjoy the pretty images. No, but
I love it. You told
all the blood splatter.
That's the thing. That's the thing that's really cool about what he just said, though, is that is so true, because last weekend I had the house to myself. Ooh. I woke up, and like she had to go on a trip or something, and so I went and got some breakfast, and then I came back and watched literal Wait. Saturday morning cartoons.
Did you watch? Nice. Did you have some breakfast, or did you have some breakfast?
But like I watched, I think it was an episode or two.
Yeah,
and it was just like, this is like such an awesome feeling. Like mm-hmm. it's very much adult Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah, and it's so fun to see that like Robert Kirkman has so much pull on this series, you know, mm-hmm. and him being the writer of the actual comic book, and now he has so much pull to like make changes that he wants to make. It's like finding out that Neil Druckmann is a part of The Last of Us on HBO. You know, I still would have been excited for The Last of Us regardless on HBO, but knowing that Neil Druckmann actually has a part in it and is writing it. I don't know if he's direct. Maybe they'll let him direct one or two episodes, but the point being is that he's a part of the entire process really makes me more excited for it, because I'm just like, okay, this is actually going to be a serious interpretation rather than just, you know, some guy named David took over and he's going to do The Last of Us or he's going to do Invincible or whatever. No, this is the actual writer of the series and or game taking over, making sure that yeah things are all in the up and up or whatever. For as much as we complained about it the other week, The Walking Dead was a very good show because Robert Kirkman was a part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that always be a thing? Like the writer right? should always incorporate.
Yeah, it really should, and I think we're starting to see that trend more. I will yes. tell you the only thing that I can nitpick or not like about Invincible is I just think in season two they need to give him a bigger budget.
Yes, absolutely. There's this one shot in the most recent episode. There's this one shot. If Corridor Crew was doing an episode, they would pick out this one shot because it is hilarious. So I won't give too much away. Let's just say there was this an explosion and then dead birds started falling from the sky. But you can tell that it's just one dead bird. And instead of it falling dynamically, it's literally just a cutout of that dead bird, and they're moving it. And then it's just copied and pasted all over the place. It looks so bad. And it's just like, it's the Ooh. One thing that kind of sticks out like a sore thumb, because like any other moment when they're doing like this badass fight sequence is like you don't notice it because you're just enthralled. But that one yeah. moment where it's like so clear that it's just a cutout and they're just dragging and dropping, dragging and
they did watch the corridor episode when they were talking about Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
Like they pointed out that very same fact. But yeah, getting farther into the show, like there are definite moments where I'm like, okay, that was one of those they had to rush that. Like I can see clearly yep. what's missing there. I don't know if we talked about this, but one of the things that sold me on Invincible, like of course the end of the first episode, but it was the immediate second episode. That whole scene with Alan. I loved.
And so remind me, what are you talking about?
Seth Rogen's character.
Ah, yes. Ah.
Yes. Yeah. It was I automatically
Alan the Alien?
I heard it and I was like, oh, that's Seth Rogen. But that whole scene, whenever and he's like, so you're Arth, right? And it's like,
no,
it's Earth. An E, and then he just goes, "Fuck, I'm in so much trouble."
Okay, I gotta go check this out.
And the funny thing is that like, the funny thing is that he's been coming here every like 10 years for the past couple of decades, attacking, you know, and then his father, Omni-Man, is usually had to take care of it or whatever. And so this is the first time they've actually talked, and it's like, oh yeah, you're at the wrong place. And he's like, oh shit.
Yeah, and he's like, well, I just fought you. I can say you're quite invincible. Stuff like that. But yeah, it's just that showed how much heart, like, was, yeah, like, and, mm-hmm. and much. It was really fun. And it's,
did you get to the Ezra, Idris Elba? No, God. As yes, the Flash. Yes,
so you're talking about on Mars?
No, the Flash. Who plays the Flash? Ezra.
Red Rush? Or Ezra Miller?
Ezra Miller, thank you. But yeah, he's in one of the episodes. Have you gotten to that yet?
I don't know. The one I just finished was whenever he shadowed that Mars mission.
Oh, okay. So I think it's either the next one or the one after
that.
No,
that's not. That's not like a important story beat.
Yeah, it's really not.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyways. really long detour. My point wasn't, hey, let's talk about Invincible because I love Invincible. My point was we have so much to choose from. Invincible, yeah. The Boys. And not only do we have so much to choose from, but we have so much adult-oriented things to choose from.
Yes.
If you want, like, the kiddie stuff, you can go to, like, Disney Plus and you can watch all the old, like, Spider-Mans, X-Mens, all that stuff. So you have that choice, but we also have so much choices when it comes to adult-oriented things. So how is this going to stack up when it comes, when we put this literally right next to The Boys, or we put this right next to Invincible, or any other thing that's out right now? It's like, how will it stack up? And I'm intrigued for sure, but it's just like,
there's also this
will it measure up to those particular? So, I mean, especially it being Netflix doesn't really, it brings its A game. Let me just say that.
There's only certain things it's nailed or gotten really close to.
Like, this looks like a Stranger Things, hopefully, but at the same time, it could be one of their other ones that are just kind of. I can't think of an example, but yeah.
But yeah, we're actually entering this phase of cinema and pop culture where it's I'm going to call it the post in-game heroes.
Yeah,
because like we're starting to see this resurgence, either around or post Infinity War and Endgame, of different kind of superhero content, we're starting to see more, and we're also seeing a trend in the adults. And you can kind of say that with like the Bad Batch, like it's a new Star Wars animated project, but it is so clearly targeted to not be a kid show like Clone Wars was.
Yeah, definitely.
So
I don't even think Clone Wars wasn't Clone really
Wars,
that.
Clone Wars was, yes. The first two seasons of Clone Wars are very much Cartoon Network. Oh, look, we're going to go save R2. Hey! And so that's why it's really hard.
Let's have a random ass episode with Jar Jar. Nobody will be mad about it.
Yeah. So, and Rebels is kind of like that too. But yeah, we're seeing that phase. But
hey, I like Rebels. Rebels was actually pretty good.
Yeah, Rebels is good. But I'm interested to see, like you said, how this is going to do. Is this going to be another hit? I would say hits would be what happened to Monday as far as movie side. Mm-hmm. And Stranger Things would be another one. Is this going to hit? Or is this going to just kind of be there?
Yeah. That's what I'm worried about, because it's like it looks good, but it doesn't look like, oh my God, this is the next thing or whatever. It's like, oh yeah, it's on and I'm not doing anything else. But hopefully after episode one, you know, whatever, hopefully that'll change. I'm not sure. You know, I want to see it, but it's more out of a morbid curiosity than I'm actually like, all right, let's get hyped. Now, I wonder, is Jupiter's Legacy a comic book?
While you're looking that up, kind of going back over to the MCU.
Oh, it is.
Like, obviously, we've talked about, we're excited about Loki. I kind of hinted before, I'm doing the chronological rewatch of the MCU.
Umbrella Academy. That's another one.
That is another winner.
That is another. Sorry. Go ahead.
And I think it's very interesting. And I actually like that approach. It's making, because I used to, I think this is probably the third time I've rewatched most of the MCU movies, like in an order. And it's always been by release. And so I'd have to go, oh, Iron Man. Oh, now I got to watch Incredible Hulk. Now I got to watch Thor. Watching it in this setting is cool, except for one thing. It has confirmed for me the two most useless, not useless, but the two just Marvel movies in the current phases of the MCU are Doctor Strange and Captain Marvel.
Fun fact, Mark Miller is one of the creators of Jupiter's Legacy.
Oh.
The comic book series. And it's an Image Comics. If I was going to choose If I was going to choose a third party, you know, not DC or Marvel, that's a really good comic producer or whatever, Image is definitely way the fuck up there, next to Dark Horse.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the one I was genuinely surprised at, because it was either watching Iron Man towards the end or the beginning of Iron Man 2, where there was something that reminded me of Captain Marvel, and I went, oh fuck, I just watched that a couple days ago. I was like, oh my, and I just started recapping it, and I was honestly bored throughout the entire time. It's literally like all you have to say is, yeah, she got her powers from the Tesseract and then she fights Thanos, like in the next movie. That's it. Like it really doesn't matter. But I just finished Iron Man 2, and I enjoy it. And maybe it's just because I've seen them all so much already.
Right.
But like, I had to stop myself the other night from watching it because I put it on because I was not paying any sort of modicum of attention.
It was just background noise.
It was. And I was like, ah. And so I finished it yesterday morning, I think. I only had like an hour left. And so I just went ahead and finished it. And I enjoyed it. But I'm like, okay, let's get to phase three again. Because those, right. I feel like, was where it'll start pick up a little bit more. And it's like Thor 1, I like. But I can tell you one thing. When we get to Doctor Strange, I'm skipping that because I have just seen it recently.
Oh, my goodness. That hurt my feelings.
I love the story. I love the story material. I think he's got an important character. But, man, that movie is so fucking boring except visually.
Yes, true. Very true.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
I like sometimes... Sometimes that's what...
It's dark. It's so dark for no reason.
Well, what do you expect? He's a sorcerer. He's the sorcerer
supreme. No. It's visually dark.
Oh, visually like, dark.
Watched it for the very first time on crappy internet that kind of had that buffering, so it wasn't super smooth. So it's kind of hard to see anyway. But I have a bright 4K TV that I watched on there the other day, and I turned the brightness up, and the color grading on it is so dark. I'm like, I can't see anything.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I guess I just like it because I always did like Doctor Strange because he was one of those Marvel characters that would like, he kind of like had his own, you know, he was in a league of his own.
Yeah.
So, I mean, although he did, you know, play his part with the Marvel Universe, I mean, with the Avengers and everything, but it just, I don't know, it was different. And for them to finally bring him out into the big screen, it was pretty cool. As far as Captain Marvel goes, I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. I'm not sure what I could say about Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
It was cool.
There, it exists.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just there.
I mean, I think the problem with both Captain Marvel and Doctor Strange is that by then, how many origin stories did we have at that point?
A fuck ton. That was the formula.
We're like 9 years into it. And we've had so many origin stories.
That was an origin story that took place in the past, right before Infinity War. So yeah. It's kind of, we went into it like, we got to watch this to figure out.
Yeah.
Honestly, that all ties in together.
You don't.
Yeah, that's exactly true. But not only that, but it's like, when you look at the contrast between Captain Marvel and Doctor Strange, who had to have an entire movie dedicated to their origin story, then you go look at Black Panther and Spider-Man Homecoming. They didn't need an origin story.
Right.
They were introduced in Civil War in the most perfect way where they didn't need an origin story. Now, you could still argue that Homecoming is somewhat of the origin story because he's still trying to get used to himself. But still, we didn't have to see the bite. We didn't have to see Uncle Ben die. We didn't have to see, we didn't have to see something that we've seen so many times.
Oh, so many times. So many variations.
So, and I think that is the main problem with Captain Marvel and Doctor Strange. If I would have seen Doctor Strange 5 years before it came out, maybe I would have been like, oh, this is really interesting. Oh, another training montage. Yippee! But instead, I've had 9 effing years of training montages and...
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is like Doctor Strange in the other movies, in Ragnarok, in Infinity War, in Endgame, was great.
Right.
But I don't think they told... Like, the story felt too drawn out very much with that one. But you're totally right. And
well, yeah. That's why my name comes first. You're just like, fuck this! I'm just gonna throw my table over. They don't call it the Nate and Nick show. Of course I'm right. Where the fuck have you been?
No comment.
Go with the nerdy would you rathers already, Jesus.
Alright, so it's your last chance in the chat. If you'd like to give your nerdy would you rather, throw that in the chat now. Otherwise, does anybody have one to get us started?
Let's get it started.
Ha!
Let's get it started.
Over here. There. Over there. Over no, over here. There. Over there.
Over there.
Over
there. I mean, I got one if nobody else does. I just wanted to throw it out there first. Start. So recently, obviously, I've been playing Call of Duty, and I got I'm really into the zombies. Like, for instance, I've prestiged 4 times. No Call of Duty hit. The only Call of Duty I've prestiged on is Black Ops 2. And I only prestiged once, I think. So here I am, prestige 4, heading towards 5, and I probably will get there and then some. And I'm still really enjoying it. And now we've gotten to the point now where they released Outbreak, and they keep releasing new maps for Outbreak, but even a new map for Outbreak isn't necessarily like a normal map for zombies, if that makes sense. It's not the tight corridors or anything. Like, it's this big, wide-open space or whatever. So, pretty simple. Would you rather an open-world zombie or a more, you know, tightly made zombie map?
I wouldn't mind an open-world, an open-map zombie. 'Cause I'd have more of an advantage rather than being in, you know, a confined area and where the zombies are just, you know, just... I don't know. I'd rather be in an open space. That way, it would give me more, I mean, like I said, an advantage to kill them off. Yeah. You know, if I throw grenades or set up traps or whatever, I mean, you can do it in a confined space too, but you have a better chance, I think, in an open area.
Mm-hmm. My answer, my simple answer is going to be, yes, I would prefer it in an open area. Mm-hmm. My Nate answer is going to be, I feel like what they should do is how they used to do it with the original Modern Warfare games, where you had the options of the Spec Ops mission. Like, let's just say Black Ops 3, or Modern Warfare 3, for example. You had survival, and then you had Spec Ops missions. Gotcha. So there are some instances where, like, the tight-knit, like, 5, for example, or, like, some of the smaller zombies maps, I want that small experience. I want that kind of arcade-y experience. And then there are some moments where I want to have a more in-depth open sandbox. And I think that what's the name of the zombie map on Cold War?
There's main zombie map. D Machine and Firebase Z.
So D Machine, the original. Like, yeah. That I think is a step in the right direction. I feel like that's a better design map for what content is trying to put in there. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's like playing an Outbreak last night in that sandbox was really fun.
Yeah.
But I can also say that there are moments where I would want to have that more linear experience. So
you know what? Yeah. That linear experience is not bad. I actually don't mind the linear experience.
Right.
But although I do objectives,
that would be
cool. Yes. Yeah, exactly. But see, when you're doing an open world, yeah, you have to like kind of figure things out on your own. Yeah. You don't really have a pinpoint. Well, they do, but it's not like it's like, hey, stay on this path and this path only.
Right.
So
I think my answer is going to actually be, and not just to be contrarian, but my answer is actually going to be more curated maps rather than open world maps. And there's one very big reason, and that is on Outbreak. I love Outbreak. It's a very good mode. It's fun, open world and everything. But then the problem is that after a certain amount of time, you're kind of forced to go to the next area, which wouldn't be a bad thing. But then after you play it for, let's say you play it for 2 hours, you've already gone through all the maps, and now you're recycling to the maps that you've already played on, and so now you're playing the exact same map. Whereas when you're doing a more curated map, you're trying to get to that high level. You're trying to get to the 30s, maybe the 40s or something. The difficulty is ramping up in a way that just feels very satisfying. And while the difficulty still ramps up in Outbreak, it's different because it's just like I'm just going from one map to another. Eventually it starts getting a little repetitive, because now obviously you could definitely argue that on on like Die Machine, for instance, because once you get to a certain round, it's just about pew pew, right?
Yeah.
But it's a different feeling, and it's so weird, because right now the makers of Call of Duty are in this really weird position. A ton of people like Outbreak. And so now they've given us two new maps, mind you, of Outbreak, and no new maps of the curated, you know, tight-knit
zombies
maps.
Experience.
And yet there's so many teases as to what the next map is going to be for the curated map, but yet they keep giving us what is essentially fire team maps with zombies on them. And so admittedly, like, I'm kind of on the zombie community side when it's like, okay guys, like, this is enough. We've had literally two maps. And if you compare it to Black Ops 4, we were completely spoiled in Black Ops 4, because at the very beginning we got four zombie maps. We had the Titanic one, we had the Gladiator one, we had Blood of the Dead, which was a Mob of the Dead remake, one of the best maps of all time for zombies, and then we also had a 5 remake, which was Classified. So four maps all the way down to one at launch and one later on. Like, it's getting to the point now that's like, okay, this is super awesome. I'm glad you guys are having fun creating these maps. And it definitely kind of seems like it definitely kind of seems like they're enjoying themselves. But at the same time, it's like, okay guys, let's give the players what they want. And mm-hmm. I feel like a good mix, where one time it's a outbreak map, next time it's a, you know, zombie map, outbreak map, zombie map. But they're not doing that. They're really focusing on outbreak right now, and it's actually getting to the point where it's like, it's actually pissing off a lot of the zombie community, because outbreaks is fun, but it's not zombies necessarily. It's not the typical zombie horde mode that we've known and loved for so long. And what's the most frustrating about that is that Cold War Zombies is arguably one of the best iterations of the zombie horde mode, and now they're just not even paying attention to it. So it's like, well, shit, guys. So that's my would you rather.
Mine is also pretty simple. It's kind of going into what you're talking about with Spider-Man, and then us talking about Invincible. Spider-Man. Would you rather be given your powers from birth, but you have the expectation that you're going to get them, you may not, and you won't know until years later? Or would you rather have some kind of incident happen that gives you your powers?
Interesting.
So think Spider-Man versus Invincible in this.
Right. Setting. Maybe it's Maybelline, or maybe she's born with it.
Get out.
Okay, you know what, that's pretty good.
Because you gotta think about it too, like, if you're born with it, like, you depending on the person can have that.
Are they aware that they have these powers?
So yes, it's very similar to Invincible or Sky High in terms of like, hey, you have superpower parents, you're going to get superpowers, but you might not. Because, like, that's the whole thing. It's like, it's been so long. Are you actually going to?
Right.
But a good comparison you would have in this would be, totally separate from superheroes, Draco and Harry Potter. So you can have, based on, I guess, the type of person you are,
right.
You can have that. You can have that, like Harry Potter, like, I'm going to use these powers if I get them for good, or I am this powerful being. I come from this powerful family.
Right, exactly.
That's, you know, there's some psychological things that go on.
Exactly, and that's where I'm getting at when I say that, because then it's going to be based on how they use the powers. Are they going to be able to use it for the good, or are they going to use it for their own, I guess, monetary gain? I guess I don't know.
I think it would be harder to live a just life if you know that you have power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it. Like, if you know that there's a chance you're going to have power, the moment you have power could really go two monumentally different directions. You could either, use this for the sake of good, or you can say, hey, I don't need to listen to anybody because I can really beat the shit out of anybody I want.
Exactly. Cause like, look at how society is now. Imagine if we did have powers, you know how many people would actually really be like, you know, trying to save people or whatever. And then there's others out there who are just all about themselves. So, I mean, if you really look at it, if you give people, if people are given powers, or whatever, or if they knew that they had the power, what would they do with it at that point? What would they really do with it? And yes, it would be a constant struggle every day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not to get political, but like, you know.
And that's not what I was going with it.
We've had vigilantes, uh-huh. You know, we've had vigilantes. Look at the vigilantes on January 6th. They're like, oh, I'm going to change history or whatever. Like, look how that turned out. Okay.
Oh, yeah. So,
and that's just a bunch of redneck dipshits or whatever. Now, yeah. Now imagine if one of those redneck dipshits could have lasers out of their fucking eyes.
Then we've got a real problem on our hands. I mean, that's just basically like Superman, you know, acknowledging that Superman is an alien and everyone's mm-hmm. going to go crazy because he's an alien. And or are you going to accept it because he's a superhero or he's right. a hero for humanity? So, you don't know his intentions. You don't know. You don't know Superman's real intentions when he comes here. If he were to come here, what would he really do? Save people? Yeah, he'll save a couple people.
Mm-hmm.
But then what?
Yeah. So I'd say I'd rather it be a surprise because, yeah, I feel like that's part of what makes Daredevil. So what?
It can shape you as a person.
Yes.
In a bad way.
I feel like part of what makes like Daredevil and Spider-Man's tragedy make them good is that it was a moment in their life that really shaped them as a person or whatever, and so they're able to do good with that. Now, granted, you could go the other way, but I feel like
trauma has a way of speaking to you. I get trauma. When it comes to trauma, it does something to someone. It really does. Yeah. It'll change your whole perspective on things.
Basically, yeah. they're reborn. Like people right. like Matt Murdock, Peter Parker, when that happened to them, they were reborn into someone new. So that's why. That's
you know what we're not thinking about though.
What?
U.S. Agent. He was born normal, and then he got made into, and then he kind of didn't turn into a good guy.
Well,
so
also,
it's like it could go either way, I guess.
That's more of a dialogue into the. But yeah, that exactly goes back to kind of, well, I mean, yeah, he is an outlier, but that's what I would say. I would like to have some sort of circumstance or something give me my powers rather than be born with them.
Yeah,
actually,
so.
he is an outlier because he selectively chose that to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point, because it wasn't yeah. like it got dropped onto him like a vat of acid or
yeah.
something. It was he actually chose that. So the choice to make yourself powerful in the eyes of evil or whatever actually ended up making him evil rather than good. So that's interesting. Yeah. So do you have a would you rather?
Oh, okay. I guess I could do that. Let's see. No,
I mean, those were really good ones. Like really discussion-wise.
Okay. Well, would you rather? I guess. Would you rather play another Mortal Kombat game after you see Mortal Kombat? Or would you be okay with? Not play another Mortal Kombat game. I don't know.
A for effort.
Yeah, you try.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's we okay. put you on the spot. It's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I got put on the spot.
Well, I feel like
but
this
yeah.
is longer than we've been going for a while anyway.
Yeah, we have. It's time to end it, especially since I have to have this one come and bug me. Like, are you done yet? Da, 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 da. Well, I'm going to go. We're definitely going to watch Mortal Kombat, all three of us. We're going to watch Mortal Kombat, and then we're going to report back next week with our thoughts.
And all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. I can't wait. Jazz. Well, you know, we might even put up a special episode just depending on our schedule. So maybe we'll talk privately about that or whatever. But regardless, we might still talk about it on next episode. So yeah, anyways, thank you guys so much for joining us on Nick and Nate and Bud and Ninja's show. Actually, I like how I put it in the stream. I said Nick and Nate show featuring Poetic Ninja. But anyways, I was Nick
and I was Nate
and I'm still Poetic Ninja,
and you guys have yourself a wonderful day.
Say sexy.
Did you just say llama butt? Llama butt? What does that mean? Oh, don't you rub your fingers?